Tonight we hear these words of Jesus, my God, why have you forsaken me? And immediately our minds can't help think about the times when we may feel distance in our own prayers. But we also somewhere in somewhat of a disbelief here too, as we read the scripture, how someone like God's son Jesus can feel this distance in this moment from his Father. And so on one level, we can relate, but on another level, we don't understand. God of the universe, his son, feeling distant from his Father. Growing up, I always read and understood these words within the context of Jesus' crucifixion. I didn't understand that there was more meaning behind these words than the obvious pain and separation that Jesus was feeling in the moment. Maybe you guys have been in the same place. But then a few years ago, I discovered Psalm 22. Why did I miss the words of this passage? I have no idea. Maybe because Psalm 23 gets so much attention. It's popular within our church communities. We see it at funerals. But I think as we get into Psalm 22, I think you're going to be amazed tonight at what's written there, especially as it concerns the crucifixion of Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there if you'd like. I'm going to read certain pieces of the passage. We won't read it in its entirety, but I encourage you, maybe go back tonight and read it in entirety. Psalm 22, starting in verse 1, says this, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day and by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust, and they trusted you and to deliver them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. And then going down to verse 12. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions that tear their prey open, their mouths wide against me, and I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a postern, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircle me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for the garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. And then in verse 24 here, for he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for the dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. He has done it. Psalm 22 is classified as a prayer for help composed by King David. As with many other such prayers in the Psalms, it begins with an anguished cry and a hopeless complaint. Posed as an appeal to God for help, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day that you do not answer. By night, I find no rest. This is how the beginning of Psalms 22 starts. David cries out to God for help, but feels forsaken and in deep agony because God does not answer him. The double use of question is a poetic tool that expresses the psalmist's utterly hopelessness and despair. David can't comprehend why God has abandoned him. He's suffering both physically and socially. Most disturbing to him is the apparent abandonment by God. David's lifelong relationship with God appears to be broken. Yet, even in his desolation, David prays, my God," acknowledging his faith in God and dependence on him. Despite the Lord's perceived distance and silence, later David declares outright his trust for the Lord. In Psalm 22, verses 3 and 5, he says, "Yet you are throned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In our ancestors put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved, and in you they trusted and were not put to shame." See, David knows that God never forsakes his people. So the question, "Why have you forsaken me?" was meant to arouse interest in its listeners. Who would have not wanted to know how this question is answered? The psalm's language was also designed to give individuals a model for praying in times of extreme suffering and need. So many other psalms, it movingly expresses the common emotional experience of people who feel alone and afflicted. Hundreds of years in the future, Jesus hung on the cross, enduring his most intense moments of torment. He desperately needed his Father's presence, and in a loud voice, Jesus cried out the words that the Jews had prayed for centuries. "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" After experiencing the most gruesome torture, left to die by evil men, Jesus cited Psalm 22:1 from the cross. Joining with multitude of humans in their afflictions, Jesus became one of them in their suffering and cried out to God for help. Our fully God, fully human Savior identifies with us in every way. Even in our weakest moments, even when we feel like God has abandoned us, through Jesus' total identification with us, he gives us permission by his own example to pour out our hearts to God. Interestingly, when Jesus cited the opening words of Psalm 22, he employed a tradition of time that identified the entire passage, like quoting a chapter heading or the book title. Jesus cried, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This was similar to a preacher today saying, "Remember the words of Psalm 22 or Psalm 23. Think about this moment while he's hanging on the cross. As Jesus took on himself the sins of all humankind, he acknowledged feeling abandoned by the Father, yet like David, he still trusted in God. He knew that he was fulfilling God's purpose by laying down his life. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus believed that God would not forsake him in that endeavor. My God, why have you forsaken me?" With these words, Jesus also beckoned his followers to make the connection and recognize Psalms 22 prophetic implications. David had seen down through history when in verses 7 and 14 through 18, to vividly portray the Messiah's crucifixion. Thus, in calling attention to the psalm, Jesus showed once again that he himself was the fulfillment of the Old Testament scripture. I leave you with these words again from Psalm 22. "For he, God, has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. God heard his son's prayers. He had not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families and nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord, and they will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to the people yet unborn, he has done it. or in the words of Jesus, it is finished. Would you stand with us for our final song?